Take a seat right where you are, and aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I am too. LSU won last night, so that's a good thing, right? So I'm not an LSU fan, but it was still good to see them win. So the shoe, right? It's a good thing when somebody throws a shoe, amen. And so anyway, we're gonna start today's sermon in Luke chapter 2. I forgot to make a couple of announcements. If you want to give this morning after service, feel free in the baskets or in tithe. And then also, we've been seeing a lot more homeless in our area, and this people coming through the church getting food and those kind of things. We've been doing that well, but we also want to supply blankets for them. So if you have extra blankets at your house, grab some of those, and Katina and Grace will be helping with that, and just getting the blankets to where they need to go to, and jackets, if you have any extra jackets as well. We have those at our thrift store, but we really never have blankets, or when they do come in, they just go really quickly. So if you have any extras, we know that the cold weather is coming, I think tomorrow, and so we want to help, and if you see anyone, you know, that tell them there is food here. So if they need food, they have some food as well. Amen. Let's pray, and then we're going to talk about Luke chapter 2. God, I thank you that we can have expectation. And I thank you, God, that you have designed us, God, with a waiting and a yearning, God, for the things that are to come. God, whether in this world or in the world to come, I pray, Lord God, that we would expect you. God, our expectations would not be on any other thing but in Christ. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. Hey, Colin. I need that object lesson. Colin, can you? Oh, yeah, thank you so much. All right, we're going to be starting in Luke chapter 2. For whatever reason, I don't know if you're excited about Christmas. People have decorated earlier. I don't know if you know that. Decorations went out like before Thanksgiving, and so it was really neat. And so my kids are so excited about Christmas. I don't know if you have grandkids or kids. We package. We never do this. I'm not really a Christmas person, strangely enough. And so, like, last minute, I'll, like, you know, bring out a box, but it's never decorated. And so this year, because we have all the time in the world, we took all of our presents out. Ted meticulously wrapped them. If you ever need someone to wrap your presents, don't ask me, because it's going in a bag. Hallelujah. But if you want something really nice, you just talk to Pastor Ted, and he will do that for you, like angle it out, take a tape measure, a ruler. We did that with all our kids' presents, and we put them underneath a Christmas tree, and we bought a live Christmas tree because our Christmas tree, we were moving last year, and so our Christmas tree is right there, and we didn't know that until it went up, and so that's our Christmas tree that we had bought years before our kids got there, and so we were going to buy a live Christmas tree. This is big for us, and so we bought a live Christmas tree. We have presents under the Christmas tree. We strung all kinds of lights, and we have like a couple of lights on our outside. My kids are excited for Christmas. They just are. They cannot wait, and every day, if you know my kids at all, they do not stop asking, Mom, when's Christmas? When can we open our presents? We're going to be there at 6 in the morning, you know, Christmas Day. And I'm making them wait. Hallelujah. I'm a waiter. So we're not doing anything. And I just think they're so expecting on Christmas. They're excited, and they have an expectation that their mom and their dad is going to have picked the perfect gifts for them. And we have. I've taken a lot of time to think through this. What would they like? And so there's an expectation for kids around Christmas. But when we become adults, there's less, if you notice, expectation sort of drops. It's like we've been there, we've done that. Perhaps you've lost an expectation because of age. Some of us are, you know, getting up in age in the room. Living will help you to lose your expectation. Maybe you've been hurt, or you've had pain, or you've had distraction or trauma. Trauma a lot of times will make you lose your expectation, because every time that you get a phone call, you think it's going to be something else bad that has happened. And as adults, rather than being expecting, we know the, you know, we know Santa Claus is not real. We know the Easter Bunny is not real, at least most of us, and the Tooth Fairy, him too. They're all out of the game. And so we have lost our expectation. And when I Google search expectation, expectation, with expectation. It says the next two words that come up in Google, with expectation comes disappointment. I'm going to say that again. With expectation comes disappointment. The first thing that people notice when they begin to expect something is that they will be disappointed. And I don't know why that is. All I know is that in this year alone, we've had a lot of expectation and we've had also a lot of disappointment. And so today we're going to look at a story that fits into the Christmas story. And we're going to look how this helps us. And hopefully when you walk out this room, you'll begin to say with expectation. Can you say that with me? Say with expectation. I wrote this Sunday on Monday, this sermon on Monday. I was just so excited. And so I've been walking around my life, the yard, the property, next door with expectation. And Luke chapter 2 in verse 22, we're going to start there. And so we're going to add on to the Christmas story. We've talked about the prophets. We have talked about the will of God for Christmas. And now we're going to talk about with expectation. Now, before you get started in verse 22, that's where we're going to start reading. I want to give you just a little bit of history lesson because I find this to be sort of amazing. The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Now, in Malachi, he writes, there will be someone that comes with healing in their wings. Again, another prophetic reference to Jesus. But since Malachi until the book of Mark, which is really the first written book of the New Testament, there were 400 years of what biblical scholars would call silence. Now, silence, not that God wasn't moving. It was silence in the fact that you couldn't see God moving. There were no prophetic voices. There were no angels. A lot of times you'll see angels in the Old Testament. As soon as the Christmas story shows up, what do you see? Angels in the sky and visitations from angels. There were no angels. There were no prophetic words. In fact, you might remember, if you can take backwards in your brain, Alexander the Great. Do you remember him from like social studies way back in the day? Alexander the Great, 400 years, well, right after Malachi, he begins to take over all of Europe. And that's why you see the Greek culture infused into the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. It's actually written in Greek because the Greek culture. Now you remember Alexander the Great was bloody and he killed a whole lot of people. After his rule came the Romans. You might have remembered the Romans, Julius Caesar, all of those people that came in. So about 150 years before the appearance of Jesus, the Romans take over and they're bloody and they take over and there's some devout Jewish men and women of God that have revolts, the Maccabeans, you might have heard of them. But what happens is that the Jewish scholars and historians, one of them, Josephus, writes this. And I think we have it on the screen. Listen to what he writes about 100 years before the birth of Jesus. It says this, "For the ground was nowhere visible through the corpse. But the soldiers had to clamber over heaps of bodies in pursuit of the fugitives." And the fugitives were the Jewish people. So about 100 years before the birth of Jesus, historians are writing that it was so bloody and that so many people were dying that literally you had to pass over bodies. You had to walk over corpses. And he says, that's how bloody these wars were. And we're waiting with expectation. So now let's look at verse 22, because there is a man named Simeon who is not affected by what you just read. He is not affected because he has a promise from the Lord. He has a word from the Lord, and a word from the Lord will help you to live with expectation, not going by what you see. He didn't see the bloody corpse. He didn't see the dead bodies. Not that they weren't there or that it wasn't a terrible time in history. What he saw was the promise of God. Look at it in verse 22. It says, "And when they came for their purification," that's Mary and Joseph and Jesus. 8 days after Jesus was born, he gets circumcised. And then by law of Moses, I'm going to tell you a little bit more, in Leviticus 12, here's what would happen. This law was found after you got circumcised on the 8th day, they would have to wait 33 days to go to verse 22 to get their purification. Now, if you had a lot of money and if your child was a boy, you would take it before the priest with the lamb. And then you would also bring a dove or a pigeon. But if you didn't have much money, the biblical command was that you would take yourself into purification on the 33rd day after having a male child, and you would bring that unto Jerusalem. So that's where verse 22 is. It says in verse 22, "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him being Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord." Yes, Jesus was the first male. "And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." So obviously, Jesus' family was not wealthy enough to bring a lamb. So instead, they bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Keep on reading in verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." Everybody say Simeon. And now he was with expectation. It says a couple things about the man. It says, "And this man was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." There's the promise. He had heard a word. He was standing on the promise of God, the word of God. It didn't matter what was happening in culture. It didn't matter what was happening in his country. He had a word from the Lord, and he was standing on the word. "I will not see death until I see the Lord's Jesus Christ." In verse 27, it says, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple." Isn't that good? You come into the church this morning in the Holy Spirit. It says, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up his arms and he blessed God. And he said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles," that's you and me, "and it says, and for the glory to your people Israel." And in verse 33, all the time in the Christmas story, you'll see this. "And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him," Jesus. "And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" The story of Simeon. Now, whenever you look at Simeon, the one thing that I see is a man who was waiting on the promise of God with expectation. Everybody say, with expectation. Now you can imagine, he's definitely an elderly gentleman, and he's waiting on the Lord. And I always look at the older people in the faith, the people who have been there and done that. I think they're great examples. Sometimes, you know, whenever you're young and you're on fire, but then 10 years later, you're not serving the Lord anymore. And so you see in the story that this man, Simeon, heard a promise from the Lord. He heard a word from God, and he stood on it. See, that's the thing that you have to do. You have to stand on what God has promised to you, whether that's for your family, whether that's for your husband, your marriage, your wife, your children, whether that's for a situation going on in your life. You are to stand on the promise of God. You are not to look at what's happening on the left, and you are not to look at what's happening on the right, but you look straight forward and you say, "That's the promise that God spoke to me. That's the word of God that he spoke to me. If he said it, his promises are yes and amen." He's not a father like an earthly father that he should lie. And so we look at the promises of God and we stand on the word of God for whomever or whatever it is believing you are believing for. But how do you do that? How do you do that whenever this world and 2020 has been way less than expected? Can I get an amen? This is not what we were expecting in the year 2020, but I notice in the scriptures, and I always love going back to the Word of God, and look at verse 25. If you are to wait with expectation, here's how you're going to do it. Notice what it said about Simeon. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man, and we're going to break this apart into three things. The first thing the scripture says is he was righteous and devout. If you're taking notes, write it, underline it. He was righteous and devout. There is a way to wait on the Lord. And that first way, and I think it's so important that the Bible puts that first. It doesn't say the other things, oh, he was waiting on the Lord or he was filled with the Holy Spirit. No, he says he was righteous and devout. Now, Pastor Ted talked last Sunday about the righteousness that comes from Christ, but we are to be a holy people, a set apart people. We are to be different than the world. The way that I talk, the what I listen to and watch is to be different than what the world is doing. I am to be righteous and devout, yes, through Christ, but there is a responsibility on my life to live holy and righteously and devoutly. I'm not saying that I am not tempted, because I am. I'm not saying there are seasons where I look at my life and it would be so tempting to do this thing or that thing, but I am saying that Simeon lived righteously and he lived devoutly. He was devoted to God. It says that, in fact, in 1 Peter 1, 15 through 17, it says this, Peter writes, but just as he who called you is holy, so be what? Holy in all you do. That's clear. There's no way to look around it. It's not like I'm in the world, I'm out of the world. It's not like I'm in this problem and I'm out of it. No, the Bible says to be holy in all that you do. In verse 16, it says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each one's work impartially, conduct yourselves in reverent fear during your stay as foreigners. That's us. We're foreigners here. We are looking forward to a heavenly home. And Peter says this, as you are doing that, to be holy while you're doing it, to be righteous while you're doing it, to be devout. If you walk out of this room back into your sin or your anger or your grumbling or your murmuring, a lot of people, right, today, murmur, complain. If you walk back into your unforgiveness or you're being around the wrong people, your impurity, even your addiction, if you walk out of the room, it will be incredibly hard to walk with sin and with expectation. I have a boxes right here that I have, and one is sin and one is God. And you can even say, hey, that's expectation. See, Simeon lived righteously and devoted. And he knew. Now, this is, I'm a woman, and as I age, I try to do less of this, but I'm lifting boxes. Now, as you can walk out the room this morning with your sin and with your God. But you know what? Sometimes this will become heavier. It's already becoming heavy as I speak because it's sort of loaded with yummy lollipops. But if I walk out this room, you may be able to walk in your sin and with expectation for a day. You may be able to walk for a week or a month. Sometimes I've seen people walk away with sin and expectation. But you know what's eventually going to happen? You're going to grow tired. And you're going to choose one or the other, because you can't have God and sin. You can't. You can't live in expectation and in sin. So you're going to make a choice. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a famous preacher or the lowliest of the lowest. It doesn't matter in the room. Simeon lived righteously and devoted to God. And you have to make a choice. You have to say, okay, I am wanting expectation. I am waiting for God to move. I am not moved by what I see. I'm going to choose to let go of my sin, and I'm going to let go of that, and I'm going to choose my God. I'm going to choose expecting God to move, and I can walk with this all day long. See, the Bible says Be holy because God is holy. You cannot expect the favor of the Lord if you're walking in sin. You cannot expect the blessings of God. And I've seen it happen where 3 months, yes. 6 months, yes. A year, most of the time, no. God exposes it and he gets rid of it because he's a holy God and he wants his people to be holy as well. Righteous and devout. Go back to that verse. It says in verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon and he was righteous and devout. And then it says this, he was waiting. Everybody say waiting. So with expectation, he's living righteous and devoting, but he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. You are waiting on God. See that's something we don't like. We grew up in a culture where it's have your way all the way, right away. And yet God is not that kind of God. If he had to wait from 400 years and there were no angels, no prophetic, no voice of God, how much is it for us to wait a week or 6 months or a year? Just because you don't see God moving doesn't mean that he isn't moving. You just need to be righteous and devoted and you wait on the Lord. And it's important how you do that. You can't just live mumbling and grumbling. I wish God would move. I wish he would move in my life. He's moving on that person. He's blessing that person, that family. I see them coming. No, that's not how we wait. That's not how Simeon waited. We are waiting on God with expectation. And we're still fasting. We're still praying. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My kids, they're waiting for their Christmas present. I love it because it's an expectation building up. There's an expectation. I don't know when, but I know that my God will move. I don't know how, but I know that my God will move. And so you begin to wait on the Lord as you remain righteous and devoted. You wait on the Lord, and as you're waiting, you're worshiping. And as you're waiting, you're fasting. Join us tomorrow. Fast with us. We fast every Monday, one meal, two meals, three meals. Fast and say, God, I am waiting and I am expecting for something to change. You add prayer to that. We do in a 24-hour prayer at the end of this month. And so you add prayer to that and you're waiting and you're not moved by what you see and you're gathering together, whether on Facebook or right here in the church, you begin to say, God, I am waiting. And like Simeon, can you imagine every day going to the temple? I wonder if he's here. I wonder if the Savior is here. And then Jesus gets circumcised, and then he has to wait another little bit longer for the 33rd day. And then Mary and Joseph and Jesus walk into the temple, and he says, I've seen it. My eyes have seen the promise that God spoke to my heart. Maybe God spoke a promise to your heart. Maybe you have a word from God and you live righteous and devoted and you are waiting on the Lord and you know that God will move. But look at the last part of that verse. It says he was righteous and devoted. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I love that. That the Holy Spirit is upon us. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in us, but the Holy Spirit can also come upon us. There is a power from the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was young, I was in ninth grade, and I knew Jesus, but when the Holy Spirit came upon me, that's when I surrendered all of my life to Christ. Why? I saw the living power of God. I saw it visible. I saw it in action. I know of people, like one of the missionaries that we help. He, you know, his foot was 2 inches too small because he grew up poor, and he had to shove his feet into these little shoes, and a girl prayed for him, and right there, his foot grew 2 inches, and now he can stand tall and straight again. That's the waiting of God. That is saying that there is a power that comes from the Holy Spirit that wasn't Simeon, but rather it was the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will receive power to testify with great effect. Wouldn't you like that? That your life would have great effect. Why? Because you're righteous and you're devoted, you're waiting on the Lord, and you you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want my life to be effective for the kingdom. I want to have an effect that long lives my life. Why would that happen? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's a redemptive work of Jesus. Yes, God is on his throne, but there is a power available to us right now. And you can sense his power. Maybe you've witnessed a miracle. Maybe today the filling of broken people. You have seen someone restored. You are participating in his miracles and his gifts. You might have wisdom or tongues or knowledge or the gift of healing. My husband, he works in the gift of healing. There is a power that comes when you're waiting and you're righteous and devout. It's the power of the Holy Spirit to be an effective witness. Not just someone who rambles, but a power of God. An expectation that God will move. So how do you feel about going into work tomorrow? With expectation. That's what you say. You get up tomorrow with expectation in Christ. I'm living righteously, devoted. I'm waiting on the Lord. I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you looking forward to hanging out with your family during the holidays? With expectation. Why? Because of Jesus. It may be another catastrophe, but I know my light will shine. Maybe how is your mothering or your fathering or your aunting or your uncling or your grandfathering going? With expectation. Maybe you're just changing another dirty diaper. But I want to say there can be an expectation in that because you know that God is working in you and he's working in your kids. What about going to the Hope to the Streets today? With expectation, because I'm righteous and devoted and I'm waiting on the Lord. God is going to use us whenever we show up into neighborhoods that are dark and depressed and discouraged. There will be a people who know God and God's work. I'm living with expectation. How about your children as they grow up into adulthood? With expectation. I am waiting. I am not going by what I see right now because I would go crazy. I'm going with what God has spoken to me about my kids. And so I'm going to believe with expectation that they will be a people that know God, that love God, that honors God. What about your marriage? With expectation. You might not be in the greatest of marriage, but you can expect greater things inside of your marriage. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. You know that there might be a situation in your life that looks grim right now, but you have expectation in Christ. God is working. The power of the Holy Spirit is moving. What about that disease that's in your body? I am living with expectation. He can heal. He will heal. And even if God doesn't, it doesn't change who he is. That's the expectation that you live in. You live with expectation. Now be careful. Be very careful because you could have lived in expectation of 2020 and you would be disappointed. But if you live with expectation in Christ for your 2020, you would know that in all things God is moving, even if you can't see it. If you place your expectation in a relationship and that relationship has failed you, whether a friendship or any other kind of relationship, that's a misplaced expectation. But if you place that relationship in Christ, an expectation in Christ, then that will be a much better place. If you placed your expectation in a job or in a person, or if you place your expectation in us as pastors, or if you would place your expectation in that this world is going to get better someday, you might be disappointed. In fact, you most likely will be disappointed. But if you place your expectation in Christ for those things, you will see the promises of God be filled. When you place your expectation in Christ, when you are righteous and devout, you are waiting on the Lord and his Holy Spirit is upon you. It's the way to live with expectation. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? Perhaps today you're in the room and you're like, I know I've lost my expectation. I know for me, so much of this sermon is just what God has been showing me personally. I've had so many dreams this year destroyed and things that we wanted to do within the ministry, and honestly, it's just sort of holding on. And every time you plan something or you dream something, just like, this year has not been the year for that. But I've noticed that this year has been the year for me aligning my life back to Christ, which has been far better than running around for the kingdom, but rather to know the King. And today, if you have lost your expectation because of tragedy or trauma, maybe you've lost your expectation because I did believe, but now I don't because these things have happened, then I would ask that you would place your expectation back in Christ. That you would place your expectation this morning, not in a physical circumstance, but rather in the one like Simeon who said, I am waiting for the coming Christ. I am waiting on the promise of God. And I am waiting righteously, devoted. I am waiting on Him, and I am waiting with the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm doing that through Christ. And this morning, if you need to line your life back up and you say, I need to have expectation, you just lift your hand and we're going to pray this morning together out loud. I believe that God hears the prayers of His people. Now, when you walk out this room, don't go back to your sin. Be holy. God's called you to be holy. If you struggle, get some accountability and say, man, can you help me? Hold me accountable. I struggle with just holiness as an issue for me. I want to be holy because Christ is holy. As you're waiting, fasting and pray, Don't stop the things that have got you to the place that you are. As you're waiting to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and say, God, just fill me again. Maybe you just need a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit. But what we're asking God for is to renew our expectation. He hasn't failed you. The world might have, or the situation might have, but your God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never fails. And if Simeon could wait with expectation, so can we. Would you lift your hands? God, will you see our hands this morning? God, you see some of us in the room that we've lost all hope. God, we have lost, God, the waiting. God, we have lost and we thought that you weren't around or you weren't listening because of the way this year has gone or circumstances have gone. And today, God, we need you to renew our expectation. God, we need to wait on you again. God, we need to live righteously and devoted. God, we need to be filled. God, just fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if we ask, we're filled. And so, God, we're just asking you to give us a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, a fresh power from on high that we would see you and know you and we would hold on to that promise. God, for someone in the room that has waited, thought they were just going to let go of that promise, I pray that you would speak renewed vision to them. God, renewed promise that what they heard in the secret place, God, what they heard in their quiet time is a true word and they can trust it. And God, I pray that we would live with expectation. When we walk out that room, this room this morning, God, that we would say for our kids, our families, our streets, our schools, our jobs, God, that we would live with expectation. We might not have seen it yet, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening. God, that we would live with expectation and a good one that's rooted in you, that is rooted in Christ. God, we thank you for renewing us and for changing us in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Would you give him some praise this morning? When you walk out this room, join us and everything. Just say, how are you living? And everybody say, with expectation. In Jesus' name, if you want to give, do that. Join us for Hope Through the Streets. It's today at 3 o'clock. We love you guys, and we can't wait to see you Wednesday or Sunday for our Christmas special. It's going to be good. We're going to expect great things. Amen and amen. Amen.